Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you, Father, for your spirit in this place. I thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you would just use me tonight to speak your word as you'd have me to. And I pray, Father, that you would accomplish what you desire in us tonight, Lord, that we might be who you want us to be and do what you want us to do in this world. And that you would be glorified, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We need to make prayer a priority in our lives. Not anything new, but something that, you know, we just need to be encouraged about this, that prayer has to be a priority. Jesus himself found it necessary to pray, to seek a place of solitude where he could get alone with his heavenly Father and spend time with him, even when the crowds were demanding his time. Even when there was a need, Jesus pulled away and sought those times of communion with his heavenly Father. It was a priority for him. You see, when the needs of life and responsibilities put a demand on you, and yet you choose to pray, you've made prayer a priority. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells us that men should always pray and never give up. Now, I want to tell you, if you're going to always pray, prayer's going to have to be a priority for that to happen. I want to read it. It's Luke 18. I'm going to read 1 through 8. He spoke a parable to them. And here was the point of the parable. It says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, not give up, not grow weary, not faint. He said there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came in saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said." Now this was an unjust judge. He says, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" He tells us to keep praying, to always pray, make it a priority. You know, we can get discouraged when we face battles. And, you know, you just, sometimes it feels like you can't win. And it can be discouraging where you just give up. You don't really want to pray anymore. You get discouraged when things don't happen on our timeline. You know, there are times when God answers our prayer in a moment. There's times when he answers our prayer in a week or a month or a year. And sometimes it's many years. And when you read the Bible and you read about people like Abraham who had these fantastic miracles happen, listen, one of the things that made it so fantastic was how long it took before it finally happened. And I'm just telling you that great victories have great battles. And you can't get discouraged, but you keep praying because God will. You know, he says he'll avenge them. He bears long with them. And then he says he'll avenge them speedily. You see, a lot of the time we pray and we wait and we pray and we wait. But when God does it, it's going to be a suddenly. It's going to be a immediately. You might have been praying and waiting a long time, but all of a sudden it's done in a day or an hour, a moment. God can do that. But we just have to keep praying and not give up. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He concludes this with a challenge, a rhetorical question. He says, "When the Son of Man comes, when I come back," he's saying, "am I really going to find faith on the earth. Now, he's talking about prayer, and he says, nevertheless, will I find faith on the earth. And here's the point. If we believe, if we have faith, we will be praying. The reason people don't pray, I say it all the time, the reason people don't pray, it is not because they're busy. It is plain and simple. The reason people don't pray more is because they don't believe. Because if we really believe that God will move, if we really believe that our prayer makes a difference, then we would be absolutely crazy not to pray. Will he find faith on the earth? I hope that he finds us praying. Amen? But we got to make prayer a priority. If we have faith, we'll make prayer a priority. You know, we tend to have so many other priorities. We think that all of our responsibilities, I mean, we would never admit this verbally probably, but somewhere in the back of our mind and attitude, we think that our responsibilities are take priority over prayer. It reminds me of the story of Martha and Mary when Jesus went to eat at their house, and Martha was fixing dinner and getting things ready, and Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. And Martha comes in all upset. And by the way, the story is in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. Martha comes in and she's all upset. And she says, Lord, do you not care? That's always a bad way to pray, right? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Look at me. I'm the one bearing all the responsibility here. I'm the one carrying the load. I'm the one doing all the work. I'm the one paying the bills. I'm the one that has to take care of the kids. I'm the one, I'm the one, I'm the one. I have all this responsibility on me. Make her help me. And Jesus says this to Martha, and too often to us, you are troubled about many things. Mary has chosen the better part. And he says this, he says, one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And it will not be taken away from her. Now I want you to understand something. Jesus was not saying that we should take care of our responsibilities. Jesus wasn't at all saying that Martha was wrong to cook dinner. But Martha didn't need to be troubled about many things. One thing is very evident here, though, is that there's one thing that's needed. And what is that? It is to sit at the feet of Jesus. That is to be the priority in your life. And I want you to know, I can testify, I can bear witness to this, that you can do all you can do in your own natural strength. You can do everything you can do to take care of the kids and provide for your family and be Mr. or Mrs. Responsible and do it all and try to get your act together and all your ducks in a row. And I want you to know that without the Lord's help, it is futile. But with God's help, it's amazing how things can come together and fall into place. You got to make prayer a priority. I didn't say not to take care of responsibilities. But how we as Americans put our responsibilities ahead of prayer. And then we get frustrated and upset with God because he didn't do something. Why is all this going wrong? Why is my car's broke down and this? Man, I got so many problems and all this blowing up my face and everywhere I turn's a battle. You need to pray. That's how battles are won. One thing is needed. What's your priority? In our generation, we need to have a regular scheduled prayer time. When Jesus walked this earth, the early church, they didn't have an alarm clock. They didn't have a watch. Oh my goodness, it's 8:06. Preacher, better hurry up. No, there was none of that. Can you imagine what the world would be like without clocks everywhere? What time is it? To hair Pastor Freckle? The sun's about there, you know, third hour of the day, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I bet they got pretty good at, you know, roundabout, got an, you know, the hour maybe. When y'all going to be there? Well, you know, when the sun's about a fourth of the way up, we'll be there. Okay, we'll be there too. It's a different world. And yet, there were certain times of day they went to pray. But in our crazy world and schedule where we've got 15 places we got to be today, we all got cars, we run all over creation, we got 15 different places we got to be. I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't make prayer a priority and schedule it in, a lot of the time it is not going to happen in your life. That's the truth. The enemy of your soul, man, if he can just get you, he don't really care what you do as long as you don't pray. Oh, now wait a minute, I'm doing the Lord's work. Well, if you're doing it without the Lord, you ain't doing nothing. Because apart from Him, you can do nothing. So prayer has to be priority. And busy people, I'm telling you, you got to schedule it in. It's more than a routine, but it needs to be a part of our routine. It needs to be a priority. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know, I've talked to some Christians who want to kind of explain that away and, you know, make some weird, it's amazing to me the stuff that people will do with the scripture so they don't have to obey it. This is pretty straightforward. Pray all the time. How can we do that? You know, I got to work for a living. Listen, if prayer is a priority, you're going to have a regular prayer time where you get alone with God, you know, like Daniel did, where he prayed three times a day, and then they made a law that you couldn't pray anymore, and so they threw him in the lion's den. Just food for thought, you know, in our day and time, if they made such a law in America, most Christians wouldn't have anything to worry about. Nobody's going to catch them praying. Well, anyway, moving right along. But if we really make prayer a priority, it's not just something that we do on a scheduled basis, but it's something that we do throughout our day. Every challenge, every opportunity, every struggle, when you're driving the car, before you conduct business, before you talk to someone, sometimes while you're talking to someone, you pray, you talk to the Lord all the time. So I don't know how you can do that. It's just like teenagers texting, or some of you texting. Did you know that a lot of teenagers text 5,000 or 6,000 texts per month? Some even more. 5,000 or 6,000 texts per month. That's 200 a day, approximately. 200 texts a day. What if you talk to God 200 times a day? I mean, apart from your scheduled time where you get alone with God, what if through the day there were 200 times that you just quickly prayed, turned your thoughts to God and prayed 200 times? Wow, that's a lot of praying. That's praying without ceasing. I mean, that's like 10, almost, well, if you're talking about waking hours, it's more than 10 times an hour. Praying without ceasing. And here's the cool part. You don't even have to have a cell phone. And it doesn't matter if you're good at going. It doesn't matter. Because He knows. He hears. It's amazing the opportunity of prayer that's given to us. And when people say, well, I don't know how I can pray all day. Well, you just don't want to. Because you can do it if you want to. Just like a teenager walking around. Well, I say teenagers. I'm just picking on teenagers because I can tell you I've had adults walk right into me goofing around on their phone, driving down the road. You don't even have to swerve into other lanes to talk to the Lord. You can keep your eyes open. It's okay. Man, I'm meddling tonight. We got to keep going. I think that might be a little pastorly peeve getting in there. But anyway, so here we go. If we're going to make prayer a priority, you got to have that time alone, and you got to make it where you're praying without ceasing throughout your day. Here's why it's so important. Prayer, first and foremost, brings us into a personal relationship with the Lord. Listen, we all know that, but I'm just telling you, if the Lord is going to be first in your life, oh, is Jesus first? Oh, yeah. You know, here it is, first of the year. Yes, let's get our priorities right. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Listen, if you're going to do any of that, then prayer is going to have to be a priority. If prayer's not a priority, then the Lord's not first. Because this is how you have a relationship with him. This is how you fellowship, how you communicate, how you commune with him. And Jesus says to a lukewarm church in Revelation 3:20, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Lukewarm church, open the door. You see, if prayer is not a priority, then we're not really sincere about wanting to be close to the Lord. It is such a privilege of communion, fellowship with the Almighty. One man said, what a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. It is the heartbeat of the Christian life. A little girl said to her mother, she said, I guess up in heaven they probably think I'm dead. Her mother said, what in the world? What are you talking about? She said, well, I haven't said my prayers in a week, so they probably think I'm dead. Listen, God knows you're here, and he knows that you're doing it on your own. When we don't pray, prayer has to be the priority. Prayer brings the plan and purpose of God. Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm telling you, if we want to see the will of God done on earth, then prayer has to be a priority. It's not just going to happen. That is false teaching. Jesus didn't tell us to pray that just for some kind of religious ritual we go through. His whole teaching on prayer was the opposite of religious ritual. He debunked all the rituals. His teaching on prayer was real. We pray this because God moves when we pray. And if we want God's plan and purpose to be fulfilled in our life, in our family, in our church, in our community, in our world, then we got to pray. Make it a priority. See, we don't just pray so that we can give the Lord our order. You know, it's like drive-through. Yeah, I want this and this and this, okay? No. Listen, we get alone with God and sit at his feet. By the way, God can talk to you while you're watching TV. But most of the time, he's a gentleman. He won't interrupt your TV show. I'm just telling you, most of the time, he's going to wait till you get alone and want to hear him. And that's when you're going to know God's plan, God's purpose. He'll speak to you and he'll reveal to you. It's when you pray. If we want to know the plan and purpose of God, and then prayer's got to be a priority. See, you don't know what to do in a certain situation. Well, James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and does not hold back. So you pray. You ask of God. That's how we know the plan and purpose of God. It's also how we see that fulfilled. Paul Youngie Cho, who pastors the biggest church in the world, or did for many, many years, he said, they asked him, how did your church get so big? What's your secret? It's real complicated. He said, I pray and I obey. Wow. Let me tell you how to get your finances in order. Pray and obey. Let me tell you how to get your kids in order. Pray and obey. See, when you pray, you know God's plan and purpose. And if you want to know God's plan and purpose, you'll make prayer a priority. Prayer brings us into perfect unity. Y'all getting this P thing we got going on here? There's seven P's I'm giving you, all right? Perfect unity. John chapter 20, Jesus prayed that we would be one. And the world looks at the church and scoffs and laughs and said, ain't never going to happen. And you know what? Most Christians do too. But if my Jesus prayed it, I know it's going to happen. And you scoff all you want to. You might not be part of what he's going to do. But I'm just telling you, Jesus is going to bring his church together in unity. You say, oh yeah, when we get to heaven. No, he said that the world will know. It's going to happen in this time. How's that going to happen? People praying. Won't happen without prayer. No, because without prayer, we are selfish. We follow our own selfish ambitions, our own ways, and we got our own ideas, and, you know, it's my way, I'm right, and you're wrong, and that's why we got 45 bazillion different churches and teachings and all this. I'm just telling you, prayer is what will bring unity. It has always brought unity. They were in one accord on the day of Pentecost, and the power fell. I'm just saying, that's what we need, church. If we're going to have unity, we got to pray. Paul said in Philippians 2:2, he said, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. How can we do that? How can we be of one mind? Well, the only way that will ever happen is that we lay down our own opinions and selfish ambitions. And you see, it is prayer that brings us to a place of humility where we can do that. Without prayer, we operate in the flesh and the carnal mind, and we end up in strife and conflict with others. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife. So you got to get the pride out if you're going to have unity. And how can you get pride out? I'm telling you, sincere prayer. Now, people can pray proud prayers like the Pharisee did, but sincere prayer always brings us to a place of humility because we acknowledge before God that we can't do it, that we need his help, and that he is all in all. Two Christian men had a falling out. One of them heard that the other one was going around talking about him, and so he went to him. And he said, brother, I would like for you to tell me and just be honest with me. Tell me what my faults are and what I have done wrong. Would you be willing to do that so that I can change and deal with my faults? And he said, I sure will. He said, well, before you begin, I think we should pray. Would you lead in prayer? And the man prayed for a minute. And when he was done, the first man said, well, now that we've prayed, why don't you go ahead and tell me my faults? And the man said, well, now that we've prayed, it doesn't seem like any big deal. It doesn't seem like anything worth talking about. He said, instead, I think I need to ask you to forgive me because I've been wrong in saying anything about you. You see, prayer just has that, you know, when people are sincere in prayer, I'm telling you, see, when you open your heart, you let God work in you. It's amazing what God can do, and that happens when we pray sincerely. Prayer brings unity, but you got to make it a priority. Prayer brings perseverance. It brings an inner strength to keep going. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how tough you are, you know, how much intestinal fortitude you have, you will come to the end of your strength without prayer. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. We need him. Every hour we need him. We got to run this race with perseverance, our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I'm telling you, it is prayer that will get you through. It is prayer that will renew your strength. Isaiah 40, 31, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Prayer's got to be a priority in your life. If you're weary, if you're struggling, I'm telling you, there's an answer. Go to the Lord in prayer. Wait on him. Listen, that means to sit in his presence, to get before him, and wait on the Lord. Serve him. Just give him opportunity. He says you'll renew your strength. If you're going to finish strong, said, there's so many people that start off good, you know. They're all gung-ho, man, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm believing God for this, and I'm believing God for that. And the truth is that most of them get weary, and they don't finish, or they don't finish well. If you're going to finish strong, prayer's going to have to be a priority. Prayer brings power. Brings the power to change things. R.A. Torrey said, if we are too busy to pray, then we're too busy to have power. See, we all know that we need change in our world. We all know that our nation needs change. We see the things that are going on. But listen, it's by prayer that we invite King Jesus to rule and reign in our world. The church is the most powerful force on earth because we can pray and God's power moves. Now the world will say, oh no, the church is outdated, the church is weak, the church doesn't have any influence. I'm just telling you, the power is in prayer. It's not in our pocketbook. It's not in our religious influence. It's in prayer. James 5, 16 through 18. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, Elijah prayed this because it was a time when there was great need of revival in the land. And so he prayed this to bring about that revival. And I'm just telling you that God can answer our prayers. Many years ago in Russia, I don't know if this one's true or not, but it's fun. Many years ago in Russia, there was a local communist party boss who was riding along, and he spotted a Russian peasant out in a field kneeling down praying. And he got out of his car and he ran up to the man and he said, look at you, you're just wasting time when you should be working for the party. And the man said, but sir, I'm praying for the party. He said, ha! You were probably praying for the czar. He said, yes, I was. And look what happened to the czar. He said, I know. Never mind. Y'all don't know. I'm just telling you, prayer works. Listen, all the complaining that's gone on, and I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about God's people. All the complaining that's gone on, it can get us a whole mess of trouble. What we need is to repent of our complaining and instead start praying. If my people, which are called by my name, will complain enough, I'm going to do something, but you won't like it. If they'll humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I'll heal their land. prayer brings power. It brings the power to change people's lives. You know, the Bible tells us to pray for one another, and we need to do that. Listen, if somebody's upset, pray for them. If somebody's struggling, pray for them. If they're sick, pray for them. If they're complaining, pray for them. If they're doing wrong, pray for them. And if they're doing well, pray for them. See, our relationships with one another are supposed to be spiritual relationships. I mean, it's fine if we get together and watch the football game. But the world's got that. We got something they don't have. A family. Brothers and sisters. And we pray for one another. And it needs to be more of a priority in our everyday life. You want to see God's power at work? Make prayer a priority. Pray for the pastor. Paul said, pray for me. Ephesians 6:19-20. He said, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Listen, if Paul needed prayer about his preaching, then I sure do need it. And I just encourage you, pray for the pastor every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday. Well, pray for him every day. But pray that God will give him a word, that God will give him the word that will speak to your heart. Now, if you're not praying that, then, well, you just can't complain about my preaching. I'm just saying, you're not doing your part. But pray that it'll be anointed, that it'll set captives free, that people will be healed. Pray that God will just use it in a mighty way that I speak with authority. Amen. See, we got to make prayer a priority if we want to see God move and work. Prayer brings peace. Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you want peace in your life, make prayer a priority. If you're stressed, if you're worried, if you're anxious, listen, make prayer a priority. All the mind control and yoga and all that other baloney is not going to bring you real peace. Make prayer a priority, and it can bring you peace. The Lord is able to give you peace no matter how bad the storm. And He's also able to bring peace to your storm. We need to pray until we get a release from God, until we know in our heart that it's done. Not just throw up a quick little prayer once in a while, but sometimes you just got to pray through until that peace comes. But if you want peace, you got to make prayer a priority. And last, prayer brings praise. You know what? God is worthy all the time of our praise. Whether we see any miracles, whether, you know, we have answered prayers or not, He's still worthy. I'm just telling you. He is all that, and He's worthy of our praise. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 through 16, I want to read this to you. It says, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all of those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. I got to tell you, I've been to some churches and even some pastors' conferences before where they might pray one time, maybe. Now, I know you can say, well, in fact, here's what they say. Well, we've already prayed up. We don't need to pray anymore. Okay. I'm of this mind. It don't hurt. I need all the help I can get, and we're going to pray a lot. So I'm not ever going to apologize for praying. This is to be the house of prayer. And I don't think that that's just about a prayer meeting either, because I think the house needs prayer. I think all of us need to be a part of those prayers. Well, let me read the rest of the story. By the way, well, one last thing I got to say here. There was a lot of activity going on in the temple, but not much prayer. Sounds like a lot of churches today. Anyway, the blind and the lame came to him. Here's what happened. He turned over the tables. He drove them out. He says, "This my house is to be a house of prayer." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple saying, "Hosanna, son of David," they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, "Yes, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." You see, it's amazing when you make prayer the priority, miracles happen. God moves, God works when prayer is the priority. See, it wasn't about all this other stuff. Prayer is the priority. This is the house of prayer. And when that was established, then the miracles happened. And when the miracles happened, now see, I said it already, God is always worthy of our praise, even if you don't see a miracle. Even if you don't feel good, I'm just telling you, he's worthy of your praise, always. Oh, but it's different when you see the blind and the lame healed. See, when you see the drug addict set free, when you see the backslider come home. Oh, it's exciting. Prayer brings praise because God moves when we pray. I just hope that you will make prayer a real priority. No, let me say it this way. The priority in your life. Not as a religious duty, but I'm telling you, what a privilege, what a powerful thing to be able to talk to the Almighty. And to listen, prayer is how we bring him into our world, into our lives. Why don't God do something? Why don't people pray? We got to pray more, church. Make it a priority. Well, stand with me. We're just going to conclude our service with a minute of prayer. And just pray that you take this message to heart. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this call to prayer as your people. And Father, I just pray that this would just become a burden to us, Lord. Lord, not a heavy, troublesome burden. But Lord, something that we are drawn to do, something that we feel compelled to do. Lord, that we'll not be able to just walk away from the priority of prayer. Help us, Father, to do it. I pray the Holy Spirit would strengthen us in the inner man, and the Holy Spirit would just remind us, and Lord, would guide us in this truth, oh, to make it a part of our lives at every hour. And Father, I just thank you for these prayer warriors that are here tonight. Lord, some that don't even know. But Father, I believe you're raising up people that will really pray. They're going to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, it's the answer. We need more laborers. But Jesus has an answer for that. Pray that the Lord of harvest will send laborers into the field. I love you. Lord bless you. If you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you.